Hashtag murder may contain explicit and disturbing material and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, and welcome to
Hashtag murder.
Woo! I'm Scar.
And I'm Alex.
And we're millennials who love murder.
And mimosas.
And mimosas.
I didn't have one of those today, but we do love them.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. I'll be fine.
I had a peach Bellini, though.
Oh, it's you tasty. Know who loves a peach Bellini?
Gayleen.
No. Well, yes.
Clinton.
Yes.
Yes.
Your second guess. Oh, he loves a peach Bellini and an espresso martini.
Yeah, I don't want to hear anything about espresso martinis ever again.
Wait, why?
He just talks about them all the goddamn time. Espresso martinis, chocolate martinis. I'm like, that's great. I don't like martinis. Thank you, Clinton.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a very special case this week, and it got me thinking, who is your oldest best friend? Not best friend, but who is your oldest friend that you are still in contact with?
I still talk to my friend Christine from high school, so probably her.
Okay.
But before that, my next door neighbor, I think she lived like two streets over.
Yeah.
Her name was Georgia. I still talk to her occasionally, and I know her from elementary school.
Oh.
Second grade.
That's how long I've known my oldest friend is second grade.
But everyone else from high school, no, absolutely not.
No, I don't think so.
I'm good.
Yeah, but Leslie, I've known her since I was in second grade. That's insane.
That is insane.
I haven't seen her in a while, but we still text.
Mm-hmm.
We have a shared childhood church trauma.
Oh.
She was my only friend out of like 5,000 children.
Yeah, because it's church trauma.
but I thought that was a fun fact.
I'm gonna end the episode on a Neneism that we heard yesterday.
Oh my.
That also reminded me of Gayleen, so
okay.
I figured it would fit.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited to hear it. And I'm excited to hear all about this case, because you did everything.
Yeah.
I was in no contact with these people.
No, they sent me so much information. It was great. The Justice for Talia team. We'll tag their Instagram in on our episode notes and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But basically a friend of theirs recommended us to cover the case. She's like, hey, if you want to get more attention, maybe have a podcast cover them, which is where we come in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's do it.
So this one's actually super, super recent.
Okay.
Like this year recent.
Wow.
Yep. This one's still technically open, so we're not accusing anybody of anything. We're just discussing things in an open little forum.
Having a light discussion.
Yeah, we're just, you know, having just a chat about some things. Maybe we want some things to happen.
Okay.
You know, just casual things.
I'm all about making things happen.
Yep.
So let's do it.
And we also do want to note that Justice for Talia team holds no hatred or malice towards Tyler Lauder or his family, nor do they claim to know exactly what happened to Talia the night of her death.
Yeah.
They're simply frustrated by the lack of justice and accountability being held in this case and want to ensure that Tyler Lauder is held to the same standards and laws that all other Polk County residents comply with. Basically,
yeah.
The group was formed in the aftermath of Talia's memorial service. Several of her loved ones were discussing Talia and what they could do to help the family during this time. Universally, the group was like, hey, there's a super lack of press and investigation into the case. Why don't we bring some attention there?
Yeah, we'll reach out to people, see what we can do to kind of spread the awareness for what happened to their friend.
Okay. Yep. So, essentially, they want the State Bureau of Investigation to involve themselves. But from what I gathered from notes and research is that the Polk County Sheriff's Department doesn't see a need for that. And you can't really involve the State Bureau unless you need them or want them to. So this is where we are.
Okay.
So, this is about Talia Patoya. And I also want to shout them out for sending me pronunciations of everything that's in the episode.
Because famously, we know that Alex... Yeah. She can read things any way she wants to.
Yeah, you can read them any way you want to.
Okay, that was very sweet of them.
It was.
Okay.
So, originally, Talia's mother requested Sheriff Tim Wright of Polk County to get the FBI involved during the allegations of domestic violence involved with this case and the unusual circumstances of the shooting, which we will get to in a minute. So, he agreed, but then later it was found out that when the Sheriff Wright did speak to the FBI, they both, quote, agreed there was no need for FBI involvement or an independent investigation to take place.
Curious.
Yep. So Talia was born March 4th, 1996, and raised in Tryon, North Carolina.
You know, you just went there.
Yeah, I did. Literally, like 2 weeks ago, we went there.
And for some reason, every time I read that, I thought it was Tyrion, not Tryon.
Oh, like
it
from
doesn't look
Game
like,
of Thrones?
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't look like it should be Tryon.
Yeah, literally a girl at the wedding who was in the wedding party gave me a huge stack of papers about the case that the girls printed off and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I thought it was ironic. They sent me like the case and I was like Googling and I was like...
And then you went there.
I was like, we're literally going here in 5 days.
Yeah. Yeah, that worked out pretty well.
Yeah. Very beautiful city if anybody wants to visit.
Yeah.
So, she was born in Tryon, North Carolina, which is, if you are a Charleston native, I don't know, it's like an hour outside of Asheville. It's probably about 3 hours from here. It's like on the border town of like South Carolina and North Carolina. So.
Oh, okay.
She is the second oldest of 12 children.
12?
12.
Whoa.
That's a lot of kids. And this is a mixture of step-siblings, half-siblings, full biological, adopted, all this stuff, but in they're very similar to like how I am with my sisters. I just call them all my sisters.
Yeah.
They're my stepsisters. So same kind of thing.
No, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. The Talia team also wanted to make it clear that she loved every single one of her siblings equally. Didn't favor like the adopted ones or biological ones in any kind of way. She loved them all.
It's very sweet.
Yep. Talia was described by her friends as being talented, loving, caring, and always looking to have a good time. Growing up, she was a member of a homeschool group and graduated from Polk County High School in 2014, and later on graduated from UNC Charlotte in 2022 with a bachelor's in English.
Okay, so she's 2 years younger than you.
Yep, so she's 27.
All right.
And Pisces, March 4th. Yeah, Pisces.
Yes! Mm-hmm. I'm here for a good Pisces.
You like a Pisces?
Yeah.
It's the fish one, right?
Yes.
Okay. During her childhood, she enjoyed singing, acting, music, and playing soccer.
My kind of girl.
We love a soccer girly.
Yes.
Both Scar and I played soccer, in case you guys wanted to know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
She also loved to stand up for the little guy. One of her friends told a story about how she would always be the one to stand up to an older bully, and at 4 years old, she jumped on the 9-year-old bully's back when he was picking on her friend.
At four?
At four.
Oh, that's really sweet.
She was like, fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm taking you out.
Yep.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And like judging by her pictures too, it looks like she's like pretty slim and like small. Like she's tiny.
She's feisty.
Yeah, but she's spicy. So Tryon, North Carolina, where Talia was born and raised, is the largest town in the Polk County area. So it's around 1,500 people.
Which is still very small.
Still very small. With the closest, quote, big city being Spartanburg, South Carolina, or Asheville, North Carolina.
Kind of in the middle of those two.
Yeah, like when we were driving up there, it took us about probably 45 minutes to get from Spartanburg to Tryon, and then like an hour to get from Tryon to Asheville. So her mother, Julie Daniels, was quoted as saying, she never got to do anything. She didn't get to get married, have a baby, have a career. Because her life ended so soon. Yep.
Devastating.
In late 2021, about 2 years ago, Talia began dating Tyler Lauder while she was living in the Charlotte area, attending UNC Charlotte and working for a tap house called The Flying Saucer.
The Flying Saucer? The
Flying Saucer.
That sounds like our kind of place.
It's a fun one.
Yeah, I like that.
It was relatively close to the university.
Yeah.
Tyler was friends with Talia's twin brothers, Gabriel and Jacob, and knew them from, like, going to high school together.
She was a twin?
No, her brothers were.
Oh, she had twin brothers.
She had twin brothers,
okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Gabriel and Jacob were the twin brothers.
Okay.
And her boyfriend, Tyler, was friends with them.
Okay.
Or, like, knew them.
Yeah.
Tyler was born May 22nd, 2002, and would have been 19 at the time he and Talia started dating.
And she was how old?
She would have been 6 years apart, so she would have been 25.
Oh, okay.
Because they're 6 years apart, because she was born in 96. So, Tyler had also worked for Ron Pitoia, Talia's dad.
Oh.
Doing concrete and cabinetry work, and he actually lived with one of the twins, Jacob, in Clover, South Carolina.
Ah, so her dad was a contractor and had hired Tyler to come and work for him.
And then Tyler was roommates with...
one of her twin brothers.
Yeah. And Clover, South Carolina is about 45-ish minutes from Charlotte, I would say. Depends on where you are.
Yeah.
He lived with Jacob while he was working for Ron. Julia Daniels, Talia's mother, reported that she thought Tyler was a nice kid before the two started dating, and she was happy to hear the news about it. Mm. Gabe, one of the twins, on the other hand, stated that he had some concerns about Tyler's drug use, and Jacob spoke out on his reckless behavior with firearms while the two lived together.
Oh, what kind of, do we know what kind of drug use, or?
It didn't specify, but up there, heroin and meth are big problems, so I'm assuming it's probably one of those.
Wow.
Jacob stated in an interview with Team Talia that Tyler spoke about pointing his guns at people on the highway when they angered him, and he kept them out in the open when at home and did not secure or lock them away in, like, a gun cabinet.
Which is unsafe.
Unsafe and, reckless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyler was known to clean his guns often and would go shooting at his brothers occasionally, but was not known to be a hunter in any way.
Hmm.
So he didn't hunt, just like guns.
Okay.
Yeah, which you're entitled to do.
Yeah.
But be safe with them, please. While Talia was employed at the Flying Saucer, Tyler would come sit at the bar and watch her work and would often make her feel really uncomfortable, and she spoke about this to her coworkers, you know, like venting about it.
Oh, I thought you meant like going up there to hang out... waiting till the shift is over. No, she, not that.
He's up there looking at her, like, staring the entire shift.
Hmm.
Yeah, very weird.
Off-putting?
Yeah, almost like a trust issue type of thing, I think.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, so it's like she's up there working, he's chilling at the bar.
Hmm.
In May of 2022, Talia graduated from UNCC and moved back to Polk County to live with her mother. Her mother and stepfather resided close to downtown Tryon, and since Talia didn't have a vehicle at the time, this was very convenient because she could just basically walk anywhere she needed to go.
Which is nice.
Yeah, super walkable. A few months later, in July 2022, Tyler quit his job working for Ron Pitoia and moved back to Polk County to live with his paternal grandparents.
They're back in the same...
area.
Spot now.
Yeah. And they still dated all through all of this.
Oh.
Janet and Bobby Ruff were the grandparents, and we'll get back to them in a little bit. They lived on the outskirts of town, while Talia lived closer to downtown, like in the middle of town, sort of. So they weren't within walking distance of each other. And since Talia did not have a car anymore, she split time between the two houses so she could spend time with Tyler.
Yeah.
So basically she would spend some time with her mom at their house, a lot of time with Tyler at his grandparents' house.
Which is convenient.
Yeah. It's normal dating things.
Yeah.
So in September 2022, Talia took a job as a bartender at Harper's Tavern at 10 Oak Street in Tryon, North Carolina, which was less than half a mile from where she was resided with her mother, so super walkable.
Yeah, I love that she's into, like, the whole bartending thing. Mm-hmm. I love that kind of human being.
Oh, yeah, like...
who just thrives in that kind of environment.
Could never be me.
I know. I think I'd be pretty good at it, because I can put on a show for people.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that in a person. If they can keep up the bar and make that money, I love it.
When she was really into like acting, singing, drama, so I feel like that kind of goes with it. Like,
yeah.
She just liked to entertain.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So now we're at September 20th, 2022. Talia leaves an unnamed male friend a voicemail saying, quote, "Tyler would kill me if he knew I was talking to you. He got mad at me last night for what I wore to the concert," end quote.
So we're seeing some controlling
behaviors.
Behavior. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Julie stated that Tyler did not want Talia to have any male friends at all.
Oh. Yeah, that's not good.
It's a red flag.
Yeah.
So late October 2022, around the 28th or 29th, according to two unnamed sources at a pawn shop in Forest City, North Carolina, they overheard Tyler and Talia arguing about Tyler wanting to spend money that he owed Talia on a gun at the pawn shop. And why did he owe her some money, you ask?
Yeah.
It's because he had broken her cell phone and he needed to pay her back so she could replace it.
God, I hate. I hate that for anyone who is in that sort of situation.
Yeah.
Because I have known some close friends.
I think everybody knows someone that's in that kind of situation.
Yeah. And it's not good, and it's scary for the person involved. It may seem like it's oh, it just broke my phone. But, like, no, that's not really what's happening here, because...
There's some more things going on here.
Has Dustin ever broken my phone? No.
Has Scarlett broken her own phone?
Yes. Yes, I sure have.
Yeah. So, at some point during this argument, like, they're outside in public at the pawn shop, or near the pawn shop. Mm-hmm. It got physical, and Tyler shoved Talia so forcefully that it took Talia off her feet, and she fell into the thorn bushes behind her.
Oh, wow.
Unknown witness calls 911, says, hey, some kind of domestic disturbance going on.
Yeah, he just shoved this woman into the bushes. Mm-hmm. Can we get eyes on this?
Yep. Talia did refuse to press charges when the police arrived, and no report was filed at all. Which I also thought that was strange that there's no report filed. Because even if you don't press charges or anything like that...
It could at least be noted.
It needs to be documented.
Yeah. Later. But maybe they can't do that if there's no...
Oh, they can.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they can document it if something happens.
Oh.
Yeah, they don't need to necessarily press charges, but they can document that that there was a disturbance.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Later that same day, the couple returned to Tyler's residence, where he was living with his grandparents, like we said earlier, mm-hmm. and they're still arguing. During this argument, things escalated even more, and Tyler shot a gun that very narrowly missed hitting his grandfather, but nobody else was harmed in the situation.
In the home?
In the home, almost shoots his own grandfather.
Okay.
If you thought this was strange, it gets even more strange.
Okay. All right, let's hear it.
Janet, the grandmother, makes a call to Talia's mother, Julie, informing her what happened, like, hey, this is the situation, blah, blah, blah. And in the background, Julie can hear Tyler yelling, come get your girl.
So this was in a fit of rage towards Talia.
Mm-hmm. And he just, like, shoots the gun wildly. Yep.
So, and then the grandma calls Julie.
Yeah, and was like, hey, this is the situation. Julie's on the phone and can hear Tyler yelling to Julie to come get her girl, Talia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, 40 minutes later, Janet dropped Talia off to Julie's home, and while speaking with her, said about Tyler, quote, we got him too late. He has this rage inside of him. We couldn't fix him. End quote.
This is whenever you get therapy.
Yeah, you don't fix those kinds of issues. You're not a professional. You're his grandparents. Yeah. And you're too biased in the situation. So you need somebody that has professional experience to fix this issue.
Yeah.
If it's even fixable at all.
Professional help is needed whenever it gets to the point where someone is shooting weapons inside of their home.
Or, you know, physically harming their significant other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Tyler's grandparents end up kicking both Tyler and his brother Bryson out of the home, and Tyler moved in with his mother and stepfather, Julia and Brian McGuire, in Mill Spring, North Carolina.
Wait, hold on. Is Julie?
Yeah, there's a Julie and the Julia. It's very confusing.
Okay. So, yeah. All
right. Yes. So Julia is Tyler's mom.
Okay.
Julie is Talia's mom.
Okay. Gotcha. Yep.
So that's where we are. Talia continued spending her time between her mother's house and with Tyler at his mother's house. The two residences were roughly half an hour from each other, so Talia would have needed Tyler or her mother to bring her to and from places, because she didn't have her car at the time.
Yeah.
It's unknown exactly when Talia lost her license, but it was around November 2022, according to her brother Gabriel.
Oh, she didn't have a license?
No.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she just didn't have a car.
No car, no license. So both of them.
Okay. Do we know why?
I have a guess as to why, but I couldn't find documentation on it, so I didn't want to put it in here and accuse her of things that maybe are not true.
Yeah.
But I do talk about her traffic court in here, so it has probably something to do with that.
Oh, so it was like a speeding ticket or something gone wrong.
Yeah, it was something to do with her driving. She got her, like,
rolled at
license.
A stop sign or something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Probably something like that.
Yeah.
According to Gabriel, Tyler often held over Talia's head when they argued about how much he had to drive her around, and he guilt tripped her over it all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, it's like, well, I pick you up from here, and I take you to work and do this.
You
that.
Don't appreciate me, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Classic abusive behavior.
Yep. December 7th, 2022, one of the twins, Gabriel Petoia, actually contacted Tyler's ex, Sarah Russell, with concerns about his sister's relationship with Tyler.
Hmm.
he's looking out for his sister. He doesn't feel good about the situation, wants to do something about it.
Yeah, being a concerned brother checks out.
Yeah. Sarah agreed to talk to Talia about the experience she had with Tyler when they were dating, and she urged Gabe to keep Tyler away from Talia as much as possible, stating that he would ruin Talia's life.
Ugh, that's so scary coming from someone who actually has been in that situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like if she's saying that, you don't say that lightheartedly. So.
Yeah, no, that's a serious
accusation. Thing yeah.
That is happening.
So, Sarah provided some details and photos concerning property damage that Tyler caused during the arguments. Sarah even called the police to report it, but nothing came of it, and Tyler made the comment to her that nothing would ever happen to him because he, quote, has family in high places. AKA, probably the sheriff's department.
Oh, wow.
Which I will also get to.
I don't know if I can say this or not. I will cut it out if I can't. But, like, what a shitty way to go through life. Like, well, I can just do whatever I want to, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because
there's no repercussions.
Because I have friends in high places. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just a self-centered, narcissistic way to go through life.
Oh, wait till you see, or hear, sorry, some of the things that he did to Sarah. The ex. So Sarah stated that he would also take her phone away so that she couldn't call or contact anybody.
Yeah.
He would disable her vehicle so that she couldn't leave and would lock her into rooms.
God. Mm-hmm. And nothing on Sarah or Talia, nothing on them at all, because they have no control over this. Mm-hmm. But like, just such a shitty person.
Yep.
To be around and to be involved with.
Yes. And, you know, we know these types, like, they're very charming and all that good stuff, so he probably wrote them in with that, and then shit just hit the fan.
Probably some love bombing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, in February 2022, roughly 2 weeks before Talia's death, she sits next to a male friend, TJ Fincher, in traffic court.
Ah, okay.
Yep. Shortly afterwards, TJ receives threatening messages from Tyler with photos of a gun stating, quote, F-A-A-F-O. Which
the hell does that mean?
You don't know what that means. It's fuck around and find out.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I did not know that was abbreviated.
Yes. So that was sent to him.
Because they were in court the same day?
Yeah, sat next to each other in court. You know, because that's such a great date.
What?
Mm-hmm. So, in early March 2023, an unknown person calls 911 to report Tyler's violent behavior towards Talia. It's suspected that Talia may have made this call on a friend's phone herself, since she wouldn't have been able to use her own phone due to Tyler taking it away from her when he was angry or breaking it.
Oh, but we don't know who, for sure, who the caller was?
Nope, but it was not her phone number.
Ah.
Yep.
Interesting.
At some point during the month, Talia disclosed to her brother, Callum, that she was planning on breaking up with Tyler, which, good for her.
Yeah, get out of it.
Yep. On March 10th, 2023, Talia was at 455 Turning Leaf Lane, where Tyler lived with his mother and stepfather. According to the police report, only Tyler's parents, Julia and Brian McGuire, and his younger half-sister, Sydney, who was 7, were home at the time of the shooting. Around 10 p.m., Tyler Lauder's gun went off, hitting Talia in the chest, and a 911 call was answered by Emery Veman, and Talia was unresponsive, but heard moaning quietly in the background of the call.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
That's heartbreaking.
Talia was rushed to Spartanburg Regional Hospital, but died during surgery at 11:09 p.m. at the age of 27 years old.
Oh, what a baby.
Just a little baby. Like, her mom is right. She didn't get to get married, have a career, kids, none of the stuff that she wanted to do.
Oh my God.
Around this same time, Tyler was placed on an involuntary psych hold at an unknown hospital due to suicidal threats made during the 911 call at the time of the shooting.
That he was going to take his own life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. A short article was written in the Tryon Daily Bulletin discussing the shooting and claiming it to be possibly accidental with a criminal charge pending, as well as the autopsy being scheduled, but that no foul play was suspected at the time. Which pisses me off, because how could you know if foul play is suspected if you haven't even done the autopsy?
And had they even done any questioning at this point?
No, because Tyler was in the psych ward.
Oh.
Yep.
I mean, you don't know anything.
No, you don't know shit yet.
The only people who know what happened are the people that were in the house.
Yep.
and witnessed it.
Yep.
Okay.
So, within the next 3 days, Talia's death was declared accidental by the sheriff's office before the autopsy had even been performed or Tyler had been questioned by police.
Why does this happen?
No comment.
Okay.
On March 17th, just a week after the shooting, Tyler was released from his psych hold and charged with a felony involuntary manslaughter.
Oh, okay.
Tyler was booked at Polk County Detention Center with a $20,000 secured bond, and it was posted within a few hours, and Tyler was released.
I bet that was probably mom or dad.
Yeah, or the grandparents, possibly. Yeah. Unconfirmed, but it is rumored that investigators acting inappropriately at the scene when they arrived shortly after, and Tyler has at least three relatives in the Polk County Sheriff's Office, who are Jeff Ramsey, Caleb Edwards, and Ethan Edwards.
Ah, so we have a little, like, Murdaw situation going on.
Similar, yeah. Like, family tree things show that, like, Caleb and Ethan are cousins, and Jeff is an uncle, like, once removed or something.
So not super close family.
No, but up there,
but
like...
in small towns...
Small towns, family's family. Family.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say.
So the day that the family viewed Talia's body, two of her siblings, Cabot and Malin, noticed that she had an indentation on the left side of her face that was unrelated to the gunshot wound on her chest.
Meaning something probably happened before.
Similar to that other case that we did, the girl that was in the army that was...
Mm-hmm.
Well, yep, something like that.
Yep. It's like, what about this that's like totally not a gunshot wound?
Yep.
What about this other thing? Like, can we investigate that a little bit?
And a side note on that, in the 911 call, you can hear a woman... presumably Tyler's mother, say, what's that on her face?
That's
interesting.
Intriguing. Yep.
March 18th comes. It's the day of Talia's funeral, and many of her friends and family gather at Sarah Costine's home in Tryon to meet beforehand and walk to the service together, since her home was right around the corner from the church that it would be taking place at.
Oh.
Sarah Costine is a neighbor of Julie and Patrick Daniels, Talia's mother and stepfather.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. The church that the funeral service was held at is the United Methodist Church of Tryon, which is the same church she attended as a kid and the one that hosted the cooperative, like, homeschool group that the Patoyas, Costines, and Shanahans all participated in.
Oh.
So these three families were very, like, tight and close with each other.
Oh, okay.
Because all of their kids...
These are her friends, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Very, very close friends, like, kind of like how I am with, like, the Brantons. Very similar.
Yeah.
Because they all went to the same church, they did the same homeschool group, they all live relatively close together, so very, very close.
Yeah.
Most attendees of the funeral wore pink, since that was Talia's favorite color, and her younger sister, Malin, suggested the idea.
Oh, that's that really sweet.
I thought it was cute.
And Malin, that's my niece's name.
Is it really?
Yeah. How does she spell it?
Where's it at?
Oh, it's close. Oh, I love that.
And she's one of the younger siblings that's, like, still underage.
Yeah.
After the service, some of Talia's childhood friends, including Emily Shanahan, Joy Shanahan, Chloe Folk, Anna Costine, and Alexa Stewart Hughes, and Abby Stewart Hughes, were then discussing the shooting and frustrations that they were feeling with it.
Yeah, it's time that we talk this out and see what we can do about it.
Yeah, we need to get shit done.
Yeah.
Everyone came to the same conclusion that they did not believe that the sheriff's office was giving enough attention and resources to the case to properly charge Tyler Lauder. Because there's no question of that he shot her or didn't shoot her. They know that he did.
Yeah, it's not a whodunit, it's a
how
did we get here?
How done it?
Yeah.
A few days later, March 22nd, comes Tyler's first court date, where he was granted a continuance in order to confer with his counsel.
What's that?
His counsel? His lawyer.
Continuance?
Oh, it's like we're gonna postpone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so you can talk it over more and...
Be better prepared for court, essentially. So, some of Talia's childhood friends also attended this. March 30th, one of the few articles reporting the case is published, citing the criminal charge that Tyler received and a quote from the sheriff's office stating that they are unable to share details relating to an ongoing case at this time. Same bullshit we always hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not surprising. Like, that's what they say.
Yeah.
The local news station, WLOS, publishes two pieces and airs an interview with Talia's mother, Julie Daniels. Around 3 weeks after her death, the article included another quote from Chief Deputy Jeff Ramsey, supposedly an uncle.
Oh, yeah.
Of Tyler, stating, quote, "Anytime there's a loss of life, especially in an incident like this, it's a tragedy," which many thought it implied that the sheriff's office believed the crime to be accidental. That's Tyler was simply just being negligent when handling a gun.
Even if that is the case, someone is still dead because of the actions that they took.
Yep. Whether accidental or not.
Yeah.
The next day, March 31st, Abby Stewart Hughes, who was the childhood friend of Talia, calls the Polk County Sheriff's Office and speaks to Lieutenant Caleb Edwards, who is a cousin. You know, just adding that in.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And he directs Abby to call Chief Deputy Jeff Ramsey.
Which is the uncle.
Which is the fucking uncle. This is so frustrating. Stating that who the majority of the questions were getting directed to. He's like, "I can't answer these questions, but old Chief Jeff, Deputy Jeff can."
Yeah. It almost sounds like they need to, you know how in like big cases they take it out of the city that it is in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what they needed to do.
Like they just need to remove all factors of family, friends, whoever. That happens
For trials sometimes. Like if it's a small town and they feel like they're not going to get a fair trial, they'll do it in
Because everybody
county.
Knows everybody. Yeah. So let's move it elsewhere.
Yeah, like let's go to Spartanburg County or something.
Yeah.
April 5th, the Tryon Daily Bulletin, which is the local newspaper, publishes another article regarding Talia's death, stating that the family was seeking justice after their daughter was shot and killed.
Understandable.
Totally normal. Sheriff Wright and Detective Huckabee, who were leading the investigation, stated that they had no issue getting the State Bureau of Investigation involved, but they never actually requested their help or involvement with the case, which you have to do in order to get the SBI involved. You have to request their help. They can't just come in and take over.
They're like, "Oh, it's fine if they do. We're just not gonna ask."
Yeah, we ain't gonna fucking ask.
But it's cool if they
want to come over and, you know, help us with some fingerprints or whatever, cool. But we're not gonna ask them to. Which means they're not going to show up.
Yeah.
So, 1 week later, on April 12th, Tyler Lauder's arraignment was scheduled for the morning docket at the Polk County Courthouse. And some close family friends attended this along with Talia's immediate family. The court hearing began an hour early at 9 a.m. instead of 10 a.m. with no communication or warning. And many of Talia's family and supporters were turned away at the court doors. And Tyler was again granted a continuance until June 28th.
They're just pushing it as far as they can, stretching it out.
But this is the second time
wasting
they pushed
time.
It off, basically. The DA's office, Andrew Murray, spoke with Talia's aunt, Allison Merrick, and told her that the continuance was actually good news because it meant the case was still open and ongoing.
Well,
which is just DA speak for we don't know anything. To me, this sounds like the sheriff's office was just dragging their feet.
Yeah,
they're like, yeah, whatever. Around April 26th, Brian and Julie McGuire, Tyler's mom and stepdad, post a bedroom set for sale on Facebook. The photos they posted of the set looked identical to the set that was in the background of a photo that Tyler had taken of his gun in the death threat text that he sent to TJ. The fuck around and find out text.
The guy that she was sitting next to in court.
In traffic court. Yep. The bedroom is where Talia was shot. So why wasn't the bedspread or, like, anything taken into evidence?
Yeah.
I feel
and
like
it's
that's
really...
Like, everything in that room should have been bagged and tagged.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't have been able to sell anything in that room.
It's not a good look whenever you... the case that Dustin and I have for next week, the lady... I mean, she's selling things immediately. It's as if the faster I get rid of it, the quicker this goes away,
pretty
basically.
Much. Yeah. Because they just wanted to forget about it.
Uh-huh.
Or at least that's the way it seems.
Yeah.
A few weeks later, on May 10th, Abby Stewart Hughes receives a call back from DA Andrew Murray telling her that the, quote, "Chinese walls treatment is a standard procedure when conducting investigations to prevent family members from getting too involved or interfering with an investigation."
What does that mean?
They
just, like, putting up, like...
They didn't want to tell the family anything because they didn't want to get them involved in the investigation and have it fucked up.
Well...
Was his reasoning.
Oh, okay.
Which implied that Tyler's family would not be included in any of the evidence or information recovered by investigators either.
If you're not going to tell one party one thing and the other, no.
Yeah.
You can't withhold.
Which pretty much directly contradicts the fact that Jeff Ramsey is family with Tyler. And so are to Caleb Edwards and the other guy.
Yeah.
So that doesn't
Who
make any sense.
Who knows what's going on there?
Who the fuck knows what's going on?
Ugh.
D.A. Murray also told Abby that he was still waiting on the medical report for Talia.
Because it wasn't done.
Yeah, because the supposedly the medical offices was like backed up for like a year's worth of cases.
What?
Yep.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Which is not uncommon, but like small town like that, it's going to take even longer to get stuff pushed through because there's less people working it.
Yeah.
Less than 2 weeks later, Brian and Julia McGuire published a series of different angry posts on their Facebook referring to, quote, gossip and lies and asking the trolls what proof they have.
Hmm. I mean, that's his parents, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. They also have a joint Facebook, which is very boomer behavior to me. I wanted to add that in.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I needed that.
You needed that?
I did. Because this is all very frustrating and
disheartening. It's pissing me off.
Yeah.
A few days later, on May 25th, the McGuires list their family home for sale on Zillow.
Oh, great.
Uh-huh.
Let's just sell crime scene.
Let's sell the whole fucking house.
Yeah. Forget about the bedroom suit. We'll sell it with the house.
Yeah, fuck it's that fine. Shit. Oh, that gets even better.
Ugh.
So the asking price was $485,000.
I was going to say $48,000. I was like, they're really trying to get rid of this thing.
Yeah, $485,000. And the photos of the home showed that the bedroom Tyler used to occupy was empty.
Oh, so they did sell the furniture.
They did sell the furniture.
Yep.
While the other bedrooms in the home were still fully furnished and appeared to be occupied.
I wonder if they sold it to, like, a family member or a friend. Do we know?
I mean, they could have even, like, gotten no offers for it and then just asked Habitat for Humanity to pick the shit up.
Oh, well.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
So, June 2nd, Brian and Julia McGuire go to town on their joint Facebook again and publish a ton of posts attacking Talia's integrity as well as some of her siblings, and some of the posts were deleted or removed.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, so now we're victim blaming and attacking the victim's credibility. Yep.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yep.
Don't like that.
And also, like, that was your son's girlfriend. Like,
A few years, right?
Yeah. Like, that's a serious relationship.
She probably basically lived with them.
Yeah. And
for, like, a while, on and off.
You're not telling me you're not upset by her death, but you're going to attack her integrity?
That's really gross behavior from grown adult people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Justice for Talia team may not hold any grudges against them, but I fucking do.
Same.
So June 12th. Tyler Lauder is indicted on one charge of involuntary manslaughter by the Polk County Superior Court. Talia's family was not notified of the grand jury's convening ahead of time, and Tyler did not appear in court for this. And his June 28th court date is canceled.
Wait, hold on. He was charged, but he wasn't there.
Yes, he was charged, but he was not there.
How does that work?
I don't fucking know.
They just call him later, and you're like,
yo, buddy.
By the way,
we're indicting you. Here's the charges.
What?
He also probably could have been supposed to report to that and didn't.
He's not in jail at this point.
He's not in jail. He spent
he's out on bail.
Yeah, he's out on bail. He spent like about 2 minutes in jail.
Oh, okay. I forgot you said that.
Yeah, June 17th, the Justice for Talia team hosts a memorial at Tryon Methodist Church, which is the same church that she had her service at. And this is where they learn that Tyler was indicted 5 days prior. And that he will not be appearing in court June 28th. Because they're under the impression...
I think I'm confused on what indicted means.
Like, they're gonna charge you. We'll look up the proper term for indicted. Hold on.
Okay. Like, charges have been pressed. He's not been arrested.
No.
Nope.
It's to charge with a serious crime.
Oh.
Yeah. But he wasn't there. So he's probably got a warrant out for his arrest at this point.
Oh. Oh, mm-hmm. Are we gonna go into this? Does he flee?
I don't know, but he's not in jail.
Okay.
All of this is very, like, he said, she said, because there's not a lot of newspaper articles about it, and a lot of this is done through, like, interviews of people that knew both of them. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
But he was not present at his court date, and you are supposed to be present for those.
Yeah, you can't go missing those, because they'll come and find you,
No, because you have to say, yes, I'm guilty, or no, I'm not guilty, whatever.
Yeah.
So, June 22nd, the Polk County Sheriff's Office posts a press release on Facebook, along with a Q&A about the case.
We're in 2023, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this whole thing...
I'm just double-checking.
Yeah, it started in March.
Making sure I didn't get lost in the timeline here.
Nope, started in March, still ongoing.
Wow. All right.
So, in it, they complain about the, quote, many baseless rumors and speculations circulating regarding the investigation and prosecution of this case.
Well,
it's true. Like,
yeah.
Like, there is shit going on with the case. You can't deny that. His goddamn family works for the police department.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? During which, they indirectly refer to posts from the Justice for Talia Pitoya Instagram page. They're like, oh, well, they're just attacking Tyler's credibility and integrity, blah, 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 blah.
I don't think it's that. I think it is spreading information about their past and what has happened and what went down and things that might have possibly led to the situation that we are currently in.
Yes.
I don't think it's an attack on anyone. It's just, let's gather all the evidence first.
And a lot of the, like, if you go through their Instagram, a lot of it is, like, raising money and funds for the family so that they can hire the proper people to get charges that are proper.
Yeah. Or just be properly investigated.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yep. But they also do not explicitly deny that Tyler does in fact have members in the sheriff's office when asked if any of the investigators were related to the defendant.
Which is why it should be moved to another location.
Another goddamn county, yep.
Or bring in the, who is it?
Oh, SBI.
Yes. State Bureau of Investigation.
Yep.
Bring in a neutral third party that is not related to this in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, because they basically said in political speak, there's no way for us to prevent any familial, like, people being on the case. Hmm. But if you called the SBI, you could definitely do that.
Yeah.
And we know how Facebook Lives go, because this thing's on Facebook Live. The comment section was basically blowing up, and conveniently, one of Tyler's aunts was arguing in them, and several of her comments got, you know, likes, and those likes came from a wife of Lieutenant Caleb Edwards.
Ah.
Who is rumored, well, not rumored, it's a family tree, shows that they're cousins.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where we are.
I mean, I get it. I get defending your own family.
Yeah.
I get that. It's just, you have to look at two, you gotta look at both sides of everything.
Yeah, you can't just look at something and
that's
decide.
That's why jurors have such a rigorous thing. It's like, well, like, if I went in there as a juror and they were like, what's your relation to true crime? It's like, well, I have a true crime podcast.
Yeah.
Like,
it's too biased. Like, the shit's ridiculous.
Yes. And you have to go into it with a clear, open, non-judgmental mind.
Yeah.
And gather the facts and then go from there.
Yeah. Ideally, if you're a juror and you're walking into that courtroom, you have no idea what the fuck that case is about.
Yeah.
Ideally. You just let the evidence, the defense, prosecutor tell you that shit.
Yep.
So June 23rd, the McGuires dropped the asking price of their home about $5,000.
They're trying to get rid of that thing.
And they're trying to get rid of that thing. June 26th, a friend of Talia's, Seth Steinman, reached out to Alexa Hughes to let her know that Tyler hasn't been seen around his grandmother's house, where they thought he was living. And he thinks he might be trying to skip town.
Well,
which would not surprise me. In June 28th, Talia's former workplace, the Flying Saucer, which is the brew house that she worked at when she was going to UNCC.
Yes.
They throw a fundraiser to raise money for the family, and a Charlotte news station covers it.
Oh.
Yep. It's cute.
Yeah.
July 3rd, DA Andrew Murray emails Emily Shanahan back, which is the childhood friend that did the homeschool stuff with her.
Yeah.
Telling her that he is unsure if Tyler has access to firearms while he's out on bail. Why don't you know that? You're a goddamn DA. You don't know if that person has access to firearms and you didn't ban them?
And he's out on bail?
He's out on bail. So he could just pick up a firearm and go do whatever he wants.
That just doesn't compute. That doesn't make any sense.
No. August 3rd, price of the McGuire home drops again. But it's still overpriced, according to Zillow, by about $30,000.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Don't know.
That's weird.
I don't know real estate, but that seems off.
Yeah.
August 15th, there's another court date for Tyler, since there is no report from the ME.
Does he show up this time?
There is another continuance, since Tyler cannot plead guilty or non-guilty on the official cause of death, because there is no, like, all the evidence isn't in. So he can't say guilty or not guilty. And that's set for October 24th.
I mean, I'm assuming, can't we all assume that he's gonna say not guilty? Can't he just say that?
I don't think he can until he hears all the evidence. You can't make a, like, he can't plead. So between August 28th and the 29th, Seth Steinman receives messages he has been getting from Tyler from different accounts, and he sends all the screenshots to the Justice for Talia team. Alexa from the Justice for Talia team sent us the photos of the messages, and the summary of them is that Tyler is defending his name to Seth and threatening to sue him for defamation.
Oh, wow.
September 14th, the McGuire home where Talia was shot is sold for $460,000. Which is $25,000 below the original asking price and much closer to the actual, like, value it's estimated at. October 24th, Tyler's next court date comes, and about 30 Talia supporters showed up, but most were told that they had to wait downstairs and could not be in the actual courtroom due to, quote, sergeant's orders.
Why?
This pissed off the family because the courtroom is supposed to be open to the general public since the court is technically for the people.
Well...
yeah, but he didn't want them in there. Per the DA's request, the case against Tyler was continued again due to the medical examiner being a year behind, so the report for Talia's death has still not been released, and it is expected to be ready for the February court date.
Of next year?
In 2024.
How are they that behind? And here's the thing. I would love that job, but I can't afford to go to medical school. But I would be so good at that job. And I would love it. And I would be so into it and invested. Why is it taking a year?
And, like, you can also call in, like, you can call in the SBI and say you don't have enough resources. Or call in another, like, medical examiner from another county. There's a lot of options
Another
here.
State.
So, on November 2nd, Abby Stewart Hughes receives an audio file with the 911 call from the night Talia was killed, which proved she was unresponsive and turning blue by the time they called, and she was unaware of what was happening to her.
Ugh, that is so...
yeah, I listened to the call. It's very traumatizing, so I'm not gonna, like, I don't think we should add it in on here.
Okay.
Especially if any of, like, her family members are gonna listen to this episode.
Yeah.
Because it's real bad. So, but you can, you know... you can request it from us if you would like to hear it, but I would highly recommend not listening to it.
Yeah.
So you remember DA Andrew Murray?
Yes.
I got some hot tea on him.
Oh, okay. Spill it.
Yep, so here's a little background on Mr. Andrew. He was sworn in as a U.S. attorney for the Western District of North Carolina on November 27th, 2017. He was nominated by President, at the time, Donald Trump, and was confirmed unanimously by the Senate on November 9th. The attorney's office he served was one of the busiest in the country and supported close to 3 million residents in Charlotte and Asheville. So, busy as fuck.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on.
He replaced DA Gregory Newman, who was removed from the office due to misconduct.
Oh, good. Love that.
Oh, it gets even better.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember the Keith Lamont Scott shooting that happened in Charlotte a couple years back? Well, I guess it's more than a couple years back. It's 2016.
Yes?
I'm going to read a little summary for you.
Okay.
So, DA, Andrew, was working in Mecklenburg County as the DA when Keith Lamont Scott was shot. He was a 43-year-old African-American male shot on September 20th, 2016 in Charlotte, North Carolina. But African-American police officer... Brentley Vinson supposedly shot him, according to files.
I don't know if I remember this. Tell me real quick.
Okay. So, do you remember the guy that was shot? Like, he was sitting in his truck reading a book, and, like, police officers made him get out of his truck, and they shot him. Because he had a brain injury, like, damage. So he didn't understand what was going on and didn't take his meds. And they shot him with his hands by his side.
Oh.
There's a video of it.
No, I don't remember that.
That's what that is.
Okay, go on.
So, Brentley Vinson had been employed by the Charlotte Mecklenburg PD since July 21st, 2014. So he had about 2 years of experience.
And that's the guy...
that's the guy who, on paper, shot Keith Lamont Scott.
Okay.
So, Charlotte Mecklenburg PD officers were on the scene to deliver a warrant unrelated to Scott, and they supposedly saw him rolling a blunt, but decided to let it go since the warrant they were delivering seemed to be more important. Which, that makes sense. Like, if you're giving a warrant out for, like, a violent offender, someone rolling a blunt is not going to be a concern.
Yeah.
Later on, Officer Vincent claims to have seen Scott hold a gun up, which is what promoted the two officers to try and detain him. According to Keith's wife, he complied with the officer's request to exit the vehicle, and you can hear her on the video saying, "Don't shoot him, he has no weapon." Like, she's recording this shit.
Oh, and she says, I do remember this now. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm with you.
And she stands by to this day that he did not have a gun,
yep,
didn't own one, and he was simply waiting on his son to get off the school bus. Oh. And he was reading a book, because that's what he did every single day. Yeah. He read a book while he waited for his son to get off the school bus. Scott's wife told officers that he did not have a gun and that he had TBI, traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
And that he had just taken his medicine and he was not going to do anything to the officers. Initially, the police department refused to release the body cam footage.
I was going to say, isn't this all recorded?
Yep. But eventually they did, and the consensus from both the public and the police department is that you cannot tell what he's holding in his hand, gun or not. Like, that a gun, that a book, is that the holy fucking Bible? We don't know. He did, in fact, not act in any aggressive manner and exited the vehicle after the police broke his window with a baton. Which, like, he may not have even understood what was going on because he had a brain injury.
Yeah.
Vincent shot Scott 4 times while he was walking backwards with his hands at his side.
Oh, my God.
Scott's wife also doesn't think that Brentley Vincent is the one who shot her husband based on the angle he was standing. He just happened to be the only black officer on the scene.
Oh, see, I didn't know any of this. Mm-hmm. I do remember, as soon as you said that, mm-hmm. I remember this happening, but that's all I got. That's all I heard. Yep.
Supposedly, Brentley Vincent, according to the wife, was apparently much further back and wasn't directly involved with the other officers talking to Scott and asking him to get out of his vehicle. Like, he was kind of off to the side.
Yeah.
Investigators claim that they recovered a loaded gun and holster from the scene and no book whatsoever. The shooting was investigated by Charlotte Mecklenburg PD and the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation and the U.S. Department of Justice. But the shooting was deemed justified by D.A. Andrew Murray, and Vincent was never charged.
There we go.
Yep.
I was gonna say, where did this circle back? All right, I got you now. Mm-hmm. Picking up what you're putting down.
Yep. So that's a little bit of background. You can take with what you want from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is crazy.
Yep.
Well, wait, was that it?
Yep, that's it. That's all I could find.
Wow.
I think we'll continue this once there's actual, like, court date, charges filed. Yeah,
next all February. All
that good stuff. Yep, it's coming up February.
Damn. A
couple months, 3 months.
Oh, yeah, it's 2 months from now. Mm-hmm. We're in December. Oh, my God.
It's almost your birthday.
It is, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that was wicked sad.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Did you have any other...
I have a story for you.
Okay.
Okay, so Kayla's mom gave me another Nene-ism, which reminded me of Gayleen, mm-hmm. So I thought you would enjoy it.
I'm gonna love it.
So we're all hanging out in the kitchen. She's drinking her wine. And Kayla's kid, Ray, was being loud and obnoxious, per usual.
As they are wont to do.
Yes. And she looks at her and she's like, you're killing my fucking buzz.
And what was it?
Hold on.
She said, you're killing my fucking buzz. Quit being a little shit.
Oh, yeah. She's like, you're killing my fucking buzz. Quit being a little shitty 9-year-old.
Which sounds like something Gayleen would say to Brayden.
To Brayden, yep.
Oh my God. I needed that laugh after that sadness that you just...
Oh, and she blatantly told me not to put that in the podcast, so...
So here we are.
We're gonna get yelled at.
Here we are. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Well, justice for Talia
is needed. And so whenever we post this, we'll have all the links and stuff for their, like, GoFundMe, the Instagram for their page, all that good stuff on our post.
Yeah, and I did see that they sent a link to a TikTok, and it's her singing. Mm-hmm.
It's really sweet.
Oh, my God. What a sweet baby muffin. I can't. Mm-hmm. I hate
And if you go through some of her other TikToks, you can kind of, like, get a...
A sense of her,
like, her personality and stuff. So
yeah, well, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. That was very well done. I appreciate that you took that on because I
could not.
I couldn't.
No.
Nope. Too recent and too someone my age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm glad that we can bring awareness to this, and we appreciate it, and we're glad that they reached out to us.
Yeah.
And that we could cover it, and hopefully we'll see some forward motion here in a couple months.
Yep. We will circle back and give you guys an update on an episode.
Yeah. And
thanks for hanging out.
Oh, follow us on Instagram.
@MurderPod. Spell it all out.
And we also have a Patreon. We have no new hash browns this week, but that's okay.
Yep.
But check us out anyway. Mm-hmm. And if you like this, give us 5 stars.
Yes.
We would greatly appreciate it. And if you leave us a review, we will read it on the next episode that Alex and I record.
Yes.
On that note, I think it's pizza time.
Are you having dessert pizza or dinner pizza?
It's gonna be dinner pizza. Oh, I'm so ready for it. Oh my God. Well, justice for Talia. Mm-hmm. And thank you for hanging out, and love you, bye.
Bye. Love you,
bye. Bye, bye, bye.
I don't have anything funny to add. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Hashtag Murder. Episodes are written and edited by Alex Lewis and Scarlett Hibden. Our intro and outro music is written and played by Derek Branton. Our cover art is by the lovely Lauren Walker. And our name was created by the most wonderful, supportive, and super hot boyfriend, Dustin Branton. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or ideas, you can reach us at hashtagmurderpod@gmail.com. That's HASHTAG. murderpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to tell all of your friends about us. Thanks. Bye.